Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace that continues to fill us, that continues to amaze us. And God, we ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would cause us to hear your voice. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. Now, last week we had a question, why did Jesus leave? Especially when Jesus was making such a huge impact in the region in which he lived. And in part, Jesus left because he completed the tasks that God had given him. First, to repair our relationship with God through his death on a cross. And secondly, Jesus revealed the truth of who God is to all human beings. Because Jesus says, the Father and I are one. So when we have seen Jesus, we have seen the Father. But there was another reason that Jesus left. And that was so that the Holy Spirit could come down and reside on earth, to reside in our hearts. And so we're going to look at the question today, why did the Spirit come? Now, are you familiar with the power of water? Look at this quote I found. Water is powerful. It can wash away earth, put out fire, and even destroy iron. Destroy iron. Water can carve its way through stone, and when trapped, water can make a new path. Also, water is necessary for life. Did you know that the human body consists of at least 60% water? And we cannot live without water for very long. Every living cell in our bodies needs water to survive. A study based on end-of-life situations shows people without food or water will generally die in 7 days. 7 days. Yet depending upon the environment, more likely 3 to 4 days might be closer to the true lifespan of someone who is without water. It's hard to imagine sometimes the importance of water, but it's true. It is important. And also, water can be very powerful when it is harnessed. When it is harnessed. The steam engine for decades transported people from one side of the U.S. to the other, and cars had steam engines. Water flowing through turbines, like at the Hoover Dam, can generate enough electricity to power 1.7 million homes or a city of 750,000 people. Lake Mead is the lake that was formed when the Hoover Dam was put into place. Lake Mead serves 18 million people in Arizona, Nevada, and Southern California, and supplies the irrigation to over 1 million acres of land. Hydroelectric power produces 51% of the total renewable electricity in the United States as of 2013. It's hard to imagine that kind of power, but it does exist. So water is not only necessary for life, but it can also be a source of great power, wouldn't you say? And to say water is powerful is one thing, but just think about the one who created water. Think of God speaking into existence all of the stars, all of the universes. And at last, this universe where on the third planet from the sun, God creates life. Plants. Creatures above the water and below the water. Think of God's power to give life, to breathe life into what was once the dust of the earth that was formed into flesh and bone and tissue and blood. It's hard to imagine that kind of power, but it does exist. Now, just before Jesus ascended back into heaven, he told his disciples, well, read it with me. It comes from Acts chapter 1. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. A gift from God, A gift from God, a promised gift that Jesus himself spoke about to the disciples. And when it comes down to it, that gift of God is the Holy Spirit. And as the disciples waited in Jerusalem, for 10 days they waited for what Jesus promised was coming, a source from on high of unimaginable power. I don't know about you, but when the scripture was read this morning in its various forms, the Holy Spirit of God comes with the sound like the blowing of a violent wind from heaven. And then tongues of fire come to rest on top of each of the disciples. About 120 were there. Can you imagine? A flame of fire resting on the heads of the people gathered here this morning. What that might look like. And then all of a sudden, when you speak, it is in a language that you have never spoken before. You don't even know what you're saying. And you are declaring the wonders of God to the glory of God, so that others might know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's like it comes straight out of a science fiction novel or a movie script made for TV. It's really, really hard to imagine. But it happened. The source of this moment happens because the Holy Spirit of God has come down. Has come down and, as Scripture says, enabled them, empowered them, permitted them to speak in other tongues, in other languages. And it dawned on me that the disciples received this gift from heaven because they believed. They believed in Jesus as their Savior. They believed Jesus when they said a gift would come. They believed and waited for this gift. They believed and they received the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit courses through them, and God uses them to proclaim His glory. The whole scene, I don't know, it's just hard to imagine. But it happened. You see, it's hard for us 20 centuries later to see the scene played out in the lives of the disciples, this incredible demonstration of the awesome power of God, the Holy Spirit taking up residence in the lives of those who believe. And as hard as it may be to believe this experience, we know it has happened because it changed the lives of the disciples forever. With the Holy Spirit as their guide, they spread the good news of Jesus Christ to the world around them. The church formed and began to grow. It says in Scripture that day 3,000 people were added to the roll of heaven. The church began and formed and grew around them, and even when confronted by the thought of being persecuted by authorities because of what they were doing, they continued to share. They continued to proclaim, and the church grew, and it continued to grow. People believed and joined the movement of God. And when a church is that powerful because of the working of the Holy Spirit through it, it should grow. Dying churches are not what God intended. Churches should always grow. With the Holy Spirit in their lives, the power of God will be demonstrated and can be demonstrated. And the disciples then were willing to die rather than to deny Jesus as their Savior. They were willing to die rather than quench the work of the Holy Spirit in them. They were willing to die so that one more person might be saved. Like water, we need the Holy Spirit in our lives, or we will find ourselves insufficient to truly live life as it was intended by God to live. Jesus says, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." And by this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. From deep within us, the Spirit works so that the living water will flow out from us into the lives of those around us, that our lives might have deeper meaning to them than just meeting the bills or eating out once in a while. Can you imagine? Can you imagine following the prompting of the Holy Spirit inside you such that the words you will speak will alter the life of someone else's relationship with God? Can you imagine the power of the Holy Spirit working inside you so that your life will shine to the glory of God? Can you imagine living water flowing out of you so your life will be so transformed that you will begin to look and act like Jesus Christ? That you will pray more daringly for God to use you to help the needy and the poor among us? That your generosity of time, of money, of possessions will cause you to become more joyful and less stingy? That your services for God would increase in your participation of ministry to each other and to the world around us? That your witness would become more powerful and lives would be changed? Can you imagine the Holy Spirit's power in you to do exceedingly more than you could ever hope or imagine? Can you at least imagine it? Because if you can imagine it, it can happen. D.L. Moody was a powerful preacher, and he was at a preaching event, and he held up a glass of water and he asked people, "How can I get the air out of this glass? How could I get the air out of this glass?" And one man raises his hand and he says, "Well, pump the air out of it." And Moody said, "Well, if I did that, it would break the glass." And there were a number of people who came up with ideas and suggestions, and nothing would seem to work. And then Dwight Moody did this. And then he said, "Now there's no air in that glass." You see, the air in the glass represents our struggle with living life in a way that is pleasing to God. It is our struggle with sin, our pride, with holding so tight to the things of this world such that most of our time is spent outside of God's will for our life. The water represents the living water that Jesus talks about, the Holy Spirit that can be poured into our lives so that our lives would be filled with more of God and less of the world around us. The more living water we have, the less room there is for us to be disobedient to God. Maybe it's hard for you to imagine having more of God in your life, but it can happen. Like water is the source of power for the dam, the Hoover Dam, the Holy Spirit is the source of power God gives to change our lives, to transform us so that we will love instead of hate, that we will do stuff when we want to pull back, that we will get involved instead of sitting on the sidelines. You see, I want to live for God's glory now, not tomorrow. I want to see the power of God move in my life today, not in another week or month or year. How about you? Don't you want more of God now? The Hoover Dam has 17 generators. 17 generators that can be used at any one time. And they get used as the gates are opened up to each generating, allowing the water to flow into that generator through them to powerfully generate the electricity that flows out from it. I believe many Christians either don't know how or refuse to open up the gates of their lives to the powerful flow of the Holy Spirit for fear of what the Spirit might ask them to do or ask them to change or maybe ask them to let go of. They don't truly understand that the more you ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life, the more joy that you will experience. The more you ask the Holy Spirit to move in your life, the more others will see Jesus in you. The more you allow the Spirit to lead you in your life, the more God will work through you to see the lives of others changed around you. The more you allow the Spirit to lead you, the more peace and patience you will have living in a world where nothing where nothing but God is perfect, where when things go wrong, you have patience, where when things don't line up, you know the Spirit will lead you to do the right thing. Don't you think it's time to ask for the Spirit to not just fill you up, but to fill you to overflowing, so that the world around you might know the love of God through Jesus Christ? You see, God will continue to pour out the Holy Spirit. It's not like a glass where it's going to stop, where the tap will turn off. The Holy Spirit will come and fill your lives to overflowing, and you will be amazed. It's hard sometimes to imagine, but it can happen. Just open up your lives, open the gates to more of God. I forgot to give these to the kids to pass out to you. You can see the Holy Spirit coming down like a dove. There's a little candle in there. It's the fire of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you one of these. And when you take it, don't just throw it somewhere or throw it out. But put it somewhere where you remember that God's Holy Spirit wants to be active in your life, wants to use you in ways that you have no idea right now how God can use you. And that each morning when you see this, that you will say, God, I want more of you. Fill me up today with your Holy Spirit. Remove the junk in my life so that I can have more of you. It's hard to imagine God working in us when we think about all of the junk in our lives, the stuff that we wrestle with day to day. But I'm telling you, even though it's hard to imagine, it will happen. Amen? Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love, for your grace, for your Holy Spirit that gives us so much more than we could ever hope or imagine. Lord, our desire is that you would fill us, that Jesus would come and fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we will be exceedingly more than we can hope or imagine. We ask for your presence, Lord. Pour out your Holy Spirit in our lives, even in this very moment. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.